Good evening and welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guests are Patty Zimmerman and Tom Chevry. Zimmerman is a professor of cinema and photography at Ithaca College. She has written dozens of articles on film and media. Chevry is professor and chair in the Department of Politics at Ithaca College. He also teaches in the Environmental Studies program. Chevry has written extensively on politics and culture. And the two of them are co-directors of the Finger Lakes Environmental Film Festival, which begins this evening and runs through April 6th. Now, let's begin the interview by talking about what is the definition of environment in this 21st century. Tom, do you want to begin?
Well, the definition, I don't think there's a fixed definition of environment. And one of the things that we're trying to do at the festival is to kind of expand and interrogate what the meaning of environment is. So we've included a lot of themes, films, speakers, formats that might not ordinarily be considered as, you know, narrowly construed as environmental. Mm-hmm. So we have four streams. One is war ecologies, one is contagion and contamination, one is water flows, and one is compost culture. Mm-hmm. So we're covering a whole range of things that might be considered like the material environment, you know, water, but also ideas and cultures that might
I was going to expand on some of those
okay,
a little bit later in the show. Do you have a, because when I first talked to you, you said that we have different ideas about what the environment is. Explain some of that besides films and.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that there's a conception out there of environment implying first world American recycling and an idea of sort of save the earth, don't use paper. There are fish and whales and dolphins
And recycle.
Recycling. And I think these are valuable, nice ideas. However, I don't think they speak to the world at all. And that is a concern to us both as scholars and as film festival directors, because when you do a festival or when you do research, you actually have to speak beyond your own borders and speak in a more polyversal kind of way where you're looking at different vectors. For example, UNESCO has initiated the Decade on Sustainability, and their definition extends way beyond recycling. It's land, sea, and air, and the social and political and technological contexts in which the world operates. Mm-hmm. So included in the definition of sustainability environment are things such as democratic communications, right, dealing with the digital divide, et cetera, dealing with war, genocide, disease. So our definition, I think, is not so radical in a certain way, mm-hmm. because what we're trying to do with the festival is link it with concerns in the world rather than simply, you know, corporate greenwashing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they think of the environment, they think of U.S.-centric needs and actions, and the world is frankly, a lot of it isn't as developed. So one must move beyond that recycling and
wilderness preservation, which is a big topic in American environmentalism.
Do you ever think that expanding the definitions might in some ways take away from some of the real needs there are in regard to environmental activism and so on? I mean, and put it into more of an intellectual realm, whereas activists won't think that they won't have to do movements anymore?
Well, I don't think we're opposed to activism. Mm-hmm. It's the focus of the activism and the ways that the activism gets, represented, because we have a lot of the films actually in the festival and other other things that we're doing involve activism. We have, for example, some footage from activists in New Orleans who were opposed to the public policies related to relief efforts in after the hurricane. So mm-hmm. that's activism, but that might not necessarily, you know, ordinarily be included maybe in a narrow definition of what environment is, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it's not that we're trying to limit, we're not trying to make a distinction between intellectual versus activist. Mm-hmm. We're trying to expand things to include lots of ideas that might not ordinarily be considered to be environmental in a narrow way.
Mm-hmm. Patty, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I guess it depends on what your definition of activism is. And I would say that we don't have a kind of 60s, 70s definition mm-hmm. of activism.
Mm-hmm.
I think activism now, you know, what I would use a different word.
So what is a 60s, 70s?
Oh, you know, you organize people, sit in, do whatever. And, you know, I think there's still a need for embodied actions. But I also think there is a need to totally reconceptualize what political actions look like. And I just want to perhaps give the listeners a concrete example. One of our guests is Mazalan Khamis, who's a Malaysian postdoc at Cornell, and he started the Aceh Relief Organization here in Ithaca for Indonesians affected by the tsunami, because there were people here in Ithaca affected by the tsunami. And they started their own relief organization that bypasses traditional NGOs, raised a lot of money here in Ithaca, but it's connected to Banda Aceh in Indonesia, and it's been highly successful in delivering on-the-ground health care and on-the-ground education and housing to those people not reached by the more traditional NGOs. So one might say, well, is that traditional activism? No, because it's using the internet. It's connecting people in Banda Aceh with people in Ithaca. It's also using new ways of thinking about GPS mapping, because after the tsunami, the coastline...
Explain what GPS mapping is to our listeners.
Global positioning systems. It's using satellite technology for mapping. And there's someone here in Ithaca working on the Aceh Relief Project who's engaged with this remapping. His name is Zevi Aziano. So this is a combination of on-the-ground work, new technologies, global, local, and also out there in outer space with satellite that is actually bringing concrete relief to people who were devastated by the tsunami in 2004.
Hmm. How do you think our high-tech world and plugged-in world has changed the perception of environment? Tom, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I think in some ways that what we're doing with our conception of environment is following where the world is going. So, you know, we're picking up patterns that we've seen that are being communicated through all these different, you know, formats, mechanisms, you know, different types of media and so forth. So I think that, you know, the technological transformations that have occurred are means by which people can broaden their understanding of what environment means globally. Mm-hmm. And so we're sort of getting access to that and trying to communicate it to an audience in Ithaca and internationally.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I would say that all technologies are environments in and of themselves. And to think of the environment as simply being this naturalistic, fantasized, utopian place, which, you know, for theorists like us is called a pastoral fantasy, I think in ultimately becomes very depoliticized. And I think that when you start thinking of technological environments, sound, music, cell phones, remix, as an environment that needs to be interrogated, assessed, analyzed, and intervened into, then I think you can actually think about political, social, and aesthetic change. So one of our strategies of moving from environment to environments is to think about the environment not as a static, inert entity, right, the trees in a park, but to think of environments that are active, engaged, constantly mutating, constantly morphing, constantly changing through interventions. And so, for example, our pre-festival screening, which was on Monday, is in collaboration with the Smithsonian, using archival footage with live rock band by Mary Lorson and St. Lowe over it. Closing night on April 6th is a huge techno remix. Laptop computers, cell phones, computer kiosks, electronic music, you know, creating a new environment with technology. And I think one of the most important aspects of sort of new media and technology is it is completely mystified. People think they can't understand it. They think it's too complicated to deal with computer code or plasma screens or digital art or some of the things that we're showing. And it seems like you can't get your head around it. And I think what we're trying to say is, you know, not just put bodies in the streets, but put the tech in the streets. You know, this is stuff to be used, manipulated, and played with and mutated. It is a organism, you know, mm-hmm. it's a kind of cyborg organism, but it's still an organism. And to separate it out and have some fantasy about, you know, simply thinking about trees and compost, I don't think that gets us anywhere.
But do you think there's a danger that some of this high-tech stuff that you've just been describing is adding to what one would call old-fashionedly pollution?
No.
You don't? I mean, it's
do you disagree?
People are concerned about how computers are being disposed of and, you know, that sort of thing. It's still a problem, Patty. You must
admit. No, I don't think so.
You don't? Okay, so tell me why. Tell me why. How are we dealing with that?
I'm being somewhat belligerent.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, because I think, like, for example, like, digital theorists often take terms that are bad, and what they do is hack them and turn them into something good. So you'll always hear this term, for example, like, yes, technology pollutes us. Like, pollute more, right? Use technology in viral ways. So, I mean, it's kind of a semantic word game. Uh-huh. But theoretically, uh-huh. I think there's always a strategy of containment, right? Keep it nice. Keep it easy. Oh, my God, all the plastic. You know, what I would say about computers is people talk about high tech but don't talk about the labor involved in high tech, right? So the example I would give is people want to talk about, all right, who has access to these machines and how do we recycle the plastic from the computers? But in fact, most computers are made in developing countries. They are made by women making microchips. And I think, another example I would give is phones, right? Now when you order something on the phone or ask for computer help, you're not talking to someone in the U.S., you're talking to someone in Ireland, or mm-hmm. you're talking to someone in Hyderabad. Yeah. We actually have films that we're showing throughout the week that deal with this issue. I mean, these are the hidden labor relations behind the plastic that mm-hmm. I think are actually, you know, part of the ecology of the new international labor system, which is creating incredible disparities around the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, I'm really annoyed by a lot of the public environmental pollution in that I'm sick of hearing people screaming on cell phones. Mm-hmm. So that's my
Well, you should come to
the last.
Come to the last event.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to drive me crazy?
No.
No, it'll be fun.
It's using cell phones. It'll be using cell phones as a way of creating art.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yes.
There are good uses, but mm-hmm. there is a lot of environmental pollution out there with people screaming into them, thinking that they have contained their little lives mm-hmm. in these little boxes. But let's move on and talk about sustainable development. Talk to us about your philosophies in regard to that. Tom, do you want to go?
Well, sustainable development is a big topic, and it's controversial because just the whole idea of development, you know, is problematic to begin with because mm-hmm. it implies that, you know, the first world, the U.S., Europe, or whatever, has to develop third world spaces. Mm-hmm. So sustainable development has a history that, you know, is connected with the whole ideology of development. Sustainable makes it seem more, you know, legitimate, I guess, or fair in some way because mm-hmm. if it's sustainable, then it won't, you know, presumably injure people mm-hmm. by building huge dams or whatever. Yeah. That,
the
you know, the World Bank
version
has done.
Of development.
Exactly. But I don't think that means it's unproblematic. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure if we're trying to foster some vision of sustainable development. I mm-hmm. think what we're trying to do is just broaden the idea of what sustainability can mean and, you know, encouraging people that may be attending the festival to think about what that might mean for them and to move it beyond the kinds of things Patty was saying before, you know, recycling, wilderness preservation, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we have a definition of sustainable mm-hmm. development.
Well, what does it mean to you, Patty? Can you expand on that?
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. I think that, I'm someone who has lived in other parts of the world that are not America. And when people use the term sustainable in countries that are not part of the U.S. empire, it means something very different, I think, than what it means when you're sitting here in the belly of, you know, the largest empire on the globe.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just to give some examples, often what sustainable means is getting clean water to people, because more people actually die from lack of clean water around the globe than from other diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So sustainable, for example, in Western Nepal, means clean water.
Mm. You are listening to Out of Bounds on WEOS. I'm Tish Perlman, and my guests are Patty Zimmerman and Tom Chevry. They are the co-directors of the Finger Lakes Environmental Film Festival, which began this evening. But let's talk about global warming. Why do you think there's still so much controversy about that?
I don't think there really is much controversy about it.
Yes, there is, though. I mean, it seems to me a lot of people are still in denial about it.
Well, there may be denial,
but some of our public officials.
Well, I think denial is different than controversy. You know, any controversy about global warming is very much just, invented by the Bush administration. This is a good example of differences between the U.S. and other places in the world. But I actually attended the Montreal Climate Summit meeting in December, and there was no controversy about global warming. Mm. Countries all over the world, representatives from every country in the world were there. And the only two countries that thought it was controversial were the U.S. and Australia. And it's all basically because they have very sort of particularized interests. But other than that, it's not a controversy.
So you think there's no denying that global warming is happening?
No, there's none.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I still hear
people
from on
high. The IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is the largest collection of climate scientists ever to convene, in history, has put out several reports, and they have concluded that without any doubt whatsoever, climate change is occurring and that there's a human footprint imprint on it. I think that we're really beyond the point where that's controversial.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Patty, do you have anything to add about global warming? Let's talk about some of the issues that the Environmental Film Festival, you mentioned it early on, that you have categories, the festival programming streams. The first one is compost culture. Let's talk about that. What are you meaning?
Well, composting culture is allowing culture to, well, maybe Patty's a good person to talk about that because she was the creator of the concept of compost culture.
Patty, it's all yours.
Well, I think that the idea there is that if composting, you put elements together and they create combustion, right? And they transform into something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's in your backyard, dirt. So the idea is that with new technologies, with different points of view about intellectual property, and with a whole range of really different artistic practices that reject the idea of like individual romanticized artistry, that there's a huge movement emerging of people who remix, remake, and intervene into culture. They no longer accept images and technology as some static, inert entity, but ask, what happens when you think of this all as recombinant? They take kind of ideas from biology and ecology and say, when you put things together, what happens? So this is a huge international movement. An artist I once interviewed told me that if you steal images and remake them in the U.S., you get a show at MoMA and you're considered a great genius. But if you do this in India, the copyright police from the Motion Picture Association get the CIA to go after you and you end up in jail.
Oh,
so he said, you're criminalized in the third world, but in the first world, you're lionized. And I think this is a big international movement. I think it has very long roots in artistic production and in technology manipulation. And it is really a lot of very exciting work is coming out of this. We're bringing Mark Hosler from the band Negative Land and their well-known cut-up audio collective, working in areas of audio collage for social critique. They were 15 years ago the subjects of a big lawsuit around copyright issues, and they've been very involved in the in rethinking the issue of fair use. We have a lot of works that we're showing that are dealing with remix culture, mm-hmm. and we're doing a lot of remixes. And I just have to make, one point of clarification that mm-hmm. it's not always just about stealing copyrighted material, though there's a lot of people doing that. Two of the big projects that we're doing are actually collaborations with major archives, the Smithsonian, UCLA Film and TV Archive, and the National Film Preservation Board in Washington, where we're using footage in collaboration with them and remixing it to create new ideas, working with electronic music, et cetera.
Hmm. Interesting, because it's like Using compost and turning it into a collage, I suppose, one could put it that way.
Exactly.
So the second on your festival programming streams is contagion and contamination. Explain a little bit about what that means.
Well, contagion and contamination, are concepts that implicate issues of public health, global public health. And they're a major part of the festival. We have several films that deal with really intransigent public health problems, like Chagas, which is it's often called the AIDS of the poor, which is almost unknown in the United States, but a lot of it's very, it exists to a significant extent in Latin America, Argentina especially. And we have a film about Chagas, which reveals some of this, which I think is mostly unknown to American audiences. And the filmmaker, Ricardo Preve, is coming to Ithaca to speak with the film. So that's an example of how we're trying to incorporate that into the other themes of, related to the festival. We have other, what are some other, Patty, can you help me out here with some other
contagion.
Public health issue?
Oh, all the
there's a lot
AIDS.
Of stuff in AIDS. My colleague, Pei Soyinka Arawele, attended an international conference in Africa. She's Nigerian on AIDS in Africa, and she organized a film festival in connection with that, and she's bringing part of that festival to Ithaca College in collaboration with us. So there's going to be a whole series of films about HIV and AIDS, especially related to Africa. So that's a major sort of set of ideas that are running through different parts of the festival all through the week.
Mm-hmm. The third on your list is war ecologies. Do you want to talk about that, Patty?
Sure. I think right now, what we are dealing with is the multiplication of wars around the world, not just Iraq. I think there is a viral movement of escalating civil war and escalating disruption of civil life. And, we can go everywhere from, beyond Iraq, but Iraq, of course, Afghanistan, Liberia, Sudan, Nepal, for example. I mean, every place in the globe. We can look at incursions of the Mexican government against people in Chiapas and Guerrero. Endless multiplication, viral replication.
And things begin ready to erupt.
Absolute destabilization. Absolute destabilization. And the issue is that war isn't just about people with guns fighting, but has an effect on the entire social fabric and ecology. One of the films we're showing is from a group of NGO activists in northern India working in Kashmir. And they called us and said, no one wants to show this film. The film is about Kashmir, but it doesn't show people with guns. It shows the deforestation that has happened as a result of the political problems there and the fact that in some communities, because of the war, there are no men. It's just women because all the men have been killed and the women don't have food to eat because of the deforestation. Or another example is a film we're showing about Liberia, which shows the effect of war, that there are orphans there after these 10 years of war and destabilization in Liberia. It's not just about the orphans, but, there are orphans there being adopted by white American families. They can't find their parents.
Yeah. And of course, war breeds disease, and the whole concept that we've been talking about can be put under these
sure,
same
often
themes.
Wars are, organized to garner resources, oil, for example. Mm-hmm. And that's, clearly
a very good example.
So there, war is complicated. As Patty said, it's ecologies. War is a whole set of complicated ecologies, and it implicates all kinds of things. So,
yeah, and then so the fourth thing on your list was water flows. And, of course, water is so important just to sustain life. Do you want to talk a little bit about how this is going to be incorporated in the festival?
Well, 3% of the world's water is usable, basically, so that water is a huge issue. There's too little water in many parts of the world. There's desertification, there's pollution, there's, all kinds of disease-related water problems. And so that's, a significant part of what we're dealing with in terms of public health issues and other things like that. But also, there's too much water, floods, there's hurricanes, there's Katrina, things like this. And so water is a very sort of unruly kind of, material. And so we've tried to, one of the things in the festival is the last night there will be this remix called Water Flows that will involve the cell phones and a water company, and it's going to use archival footage from the Smithsonian that will have images of rivers around the world. And so that's one of the main, you know, the big finale is going to be the last stream, no pun intended. That is, we're going to end things with, you know, by interrogating and, deploying images of water and all its many meanings all over the planet.
Mm-hmm. You taught a class called Dylan to Death Row, right? The Politics of Popular Music.
Yeah, I haven't called it that in a while, but I've called different versions of that course I've taught over time.
Do you think pop music has had a great effect on environmental issues in recent years, or? Because you've mainly been talking about film, so I was just wondering.
Well, music is a very significant part of the festival. Mm-hmm. As Patty noted, Mary Lawson and St. Lowe are going to be playing over this archival footage on Monday night. Many of the films deal with issues, have musical themes. The opening night at Cinemopolis is a film called Hip Hop Colony, which is about rap music and hip hop culture in Kenya. And it's really an interesting take on just the meaning of rap and how it's become viral around the world and whether it's cultural imperialism and things like that. The second night at Cinemopolis, Saturday night, we have a film called El Otro Lado, which is literally translates to the other side, which is about Mexicans in which province?
In
southern Mexico, and they've been driven off their land or off their, you know, many
Sinaloa.
Many were fishermen, and they lost their livelihoods and started, you know, they start to move northward to, try to find work. And one of the things that they do is to find work selling narcotics, you know. And so there's a music that's sort of grown up around this. It's like outlaw music. It's like country music in Mexico that's outlaw music that's about the drug trade, and it's called narco corrido music. And so this film, El Otro Lado, is about this music and about the people that make it, and, it's romance and it's outlaw, you know, it's dangerousness. And the filmmaker, Natalia Amada, is Mexican and American, and she's going to be speaking with that film on Saturday night. So, you know, we've deliberately incorporated music throughout the festival week in all kinds of ways. So that's one of the things, I guess, the reason that Patty and I can collaborate, you know, so closely in a lot of this stuff is we have many of the same interests and ideas about what a film festival should be. Mm-hmm. And we think that music should be a really central part of it.
Yeah, it sounds like to tie this together, the festival sounds like it really is trying to tie culture, politics, environment, I mean, the whole thing, and make people open up their eyes beyond
Absolutely.
Composting and
sure.
trees
yes.
and so
and,
on.
And
so
also, I would say, beyond film. I mean, like, we have a very broad view of film,
yes.
right? For us, film is sort of a generic term for putting work on plasma screens, remixes, digital art online, digital salons, and lots of music. Because I think that what's really important about a lot of music is music is the first form of media.
Mm-hmm. How can people get in touch to find out the schedule for the
It's on the website, and the website is www.ithaca.edu/FLEFF, FLEFF, Finger Lakes Environmental Film Festival. And that's got the complete schedule on it, updated. And, you know, we think we have a good website, as we were saying before the show started, and we really invite people to take a look at it.
I really would recommend. There's so much information on it. We have run out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you,
Tish.
Out of Bounds is produced by Tim Reppert at Rep Studio in Ithaca. We are a project of the Women's Interfaith Institute in Seneca Falls. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. If you want to talk to us, you can email us at weos@hws.edu. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.